This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity.
Hi, this is Rewind, and I'm Tony Tolato. We look at Van Helsing. Like Buffy the Vampire Slayer before it, Van Helsing put its own take on the vampire mythology and created one of their own, even redefining Dracula herself. In this episode of Rewind, I look back at this very cool and innovative series. In the first season, I spoke to Kelly Overton, who played Vanessa Van Helsing, a descendant of the famed vampire hunter of lore.
I'm sure this is a physical role, but I mean, you are an athlete, so it's not like you're not used to doing physical stuff. But obviously, it's a little different from athletics to doing stunts and stuff like that, so I'm sure you get your share on Van Helsing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I've done some stunt works or some roles that have required my athleticism and fight sequences. I did a martial arts video game adaptation called Tekken.
Yeah.
And I did all my own stunts for that movie. True Blood, I did most of my own stunts for, you know, same with Van Helsing. So it's something I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the stunt team on this show was just so top notch. I loved working with them.
So what about the look of the vampires? Are we going to see traditional-looking, human-looking vampires, or do they kind of change their face a little bit when they become a vampire?
Yeah, their faces definitely change. I mean, there's just extensive makeup work that went into creating the vampire look.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup team on the show was just so talented.
Mm-hmm.
And also some special effects. So you have that combination when people turn. And the vampires, you know, I mentioned there are several different types of vampires, so
yeah.
They all have a different look.
As the series begins, you are the granddaughter of the great Professor Van Helsing that was tangling with Dracula. Is that her background?
She's definitely a part of a lineage, and you learn more about specifically how, you know, as the season progresses, so I don't want to give too much of that away.
Oh, that's very cool.
Sci-Fi Talk returns in a moment.
Does she, like, kind of travel hunting these vampires, finding them and that kind of thing?
That I'm not sure I can really, so sorry, get into too much either. But, you know, she really goes on, I can talk more about, like, the internal journey of her.
I'd love to hear it, yeah.
And, you know, she wakes up from a coma that she's been in for 3 years. And you saw the preview?
No, I haven't yet. No, unfortunately.
Okay. She wakes up from a coma that, you know, she's been in for 3 years to find the world has been overruled by vampires, to find an apocalyptic world. She discovers that she has supernatural abilities that she's wanted by the vampires and by the humans equally alike. So she kind of finds herself in this position of not knowing who to trust. Really goes on a journey of self-discovery. And so, and the one thing that I loved about this was that the audience gets to go on the journey with her.
Yeah.
It's not like the audience knows more about, you know, about her before she does. So it's really like an unraveling, which I thought was really compelling. You know, it becomes, in some ways, about her acceptance or rejection of who she is and kind of how she wrestles with that.
During the run of the series, I had the pleasure of talking to Alex Ponovic, who played Julius. Van Helsing, how did the first season feel?
Oh, it was an interesting thing because it was basically nothing like the folklore, and it was discovering and kind of molding the characters, and everyone just, you know, you step in and you do what you think is right for the character and for the show, and then it just grows from there. So for me, it was this, and I think for a lot of the characters, I think it was a beautiful case of the exploration. And then, you know, we finally get to really settle into who these characters are, not only the audience, but also the actors. And we really get a stranglehold on what we're doing because, you know, it's the first time we've gone through it. Season one's always one of those things of finding your footwork in your ground and you sit into place and you feel it feels right. And then it's just building on that. So it was, I love the process of the exploration, and Simon Barry and Anila Butte really let us let all the characters just explore and evolve what our instincts were, and then they got guided us, and it was great to have those guys, you know, championing us.
Now, was it easy for you as an actor to find Julius and to kind of get under his skin, so to speak?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, I totally dig playing these type of characters because it's nothing like me in the real world. And so it's interesting to find and dive into these dark spots and then literally putting a magnifying glass, if not a telescope, on those moments and finding out how much further someone like Julius will go to get what he wants, and that morally and ethically is really isn't in his vocabulary. So for me to really find those moments, you know, in my real life of the, everyone has that, those, the darkness that you just filter through and that you make better decisions as opposed to going through what the visceral feeling is. And I think everything about Julius is extremely visceral. And I think it was just really fun,
yeah,
to go above and beyond and going past those lines that a normal person would. So it's interesting and it's super fun. And it was, you know, a lot of exploration and a lot of fear in Julius that he does a massive cover on because he never wants to be back to where he was. So he'll do anything that it takes to climb the ladder to be at the top. And that's not just his thirst for power but and blood, you know, it's both combined. So it's been super fun to play and super fun to use the scare tactics that he does and to really bubble, like he really loves to see the fear and the bubbling in other people to make him feel bigger. So yeah, man, I can go on forever. It's just been a blast.
Kelly as the descendant of Van Helsing, great casting. I mean, she's a terrific actress, been on Broadway. I mean, I had a chance to talk to her before the show aired, and she's just a tremendous legend.
Oh, she's above and beyond and next level. I think she is the perfect person to play this character. And not only that, she's just a joy and a lovely woman to be around on set with. So we're all extremely lucky that she's the leader of this pack, and she's just really generous and lovely, and we're just really lucky to have her, you know, leading the show. And I think what she does with the character and how strong she is and vulnerable at the same time, it's just, I think it's beautiful casting.
My travels led me to the Den of Geek party on the red carpet at San Diego Comic-Con. I ran into some of the cast and showrunners. And here is Jonathan Scarf, who is Axel Miller. What's going on? What are you guys cooking up?
Oh, my God. Some big stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's some unexpected stuff, I got to say. I mean, you know, in terms of Axel and my character, we get to learn a lot more about his past. We get to get a lot deeper into his relationship with Scarlet. We have to run into some tragedy, I'm sorry to say, here and there. But, you know, it goes with the territory. And the show itself is just expanded beyond belief in terms of the directions that the writers have gone and the liberties that they've taken. The risks that they've taken and their inventiveness is kind of out of this world this year.
But tragedy is kind of Shakespearean. It's kind of cool to play, isn't it?
Oh, it goes back to the Greeks. It's the best stuff to play.
Yeah, of course.
And Trezo Mahoro, who is Mohammed. So what's going on for you this season?
Craziness. Complete and utter craziness. You get to see a whole different part of Mohammed that you never think that you would see. He's more ferocious, more focused, and he goes for what he wants with no questions asked. So I'm excited for you guys to see it.
And one of the executive producers here is Chad Oakes.
And what was it like to kind of crafting this compared to the first two?
I think it's, as always, you want to continue to reinvent yourself. I mean, Van Helsing is a reinvention of the Bram Stoker story. So, and we started with an amazing kick-ass female in the lead. Did it in post-apocalyptic times, and again, you know, that's the genius of Neil LaBute, our great showrunner over there. he just keeps, he and Jonathan Walker and Jeremy and all the boys and girls in the room, these guys just, they have fun doing it. They really do. And as executive producer in studio, my job is to go walk in there and go, okay, hang on, we can't afford this shit. So 40 people, start a fight, it's now going to be 14, then when we shoot, it's going to be 6. But anyway, we stretch the dollars like we can. It's a real tight budget, but season 3 is by far the biggest action-packed, jam-packed season of them all, with lots of great twists.
Music to my undead loving ears.
Yes.
Really, lastly, your Comic-Con experience so far. You had your panel today, right?
Yes, panel today. This is my third Comic-Con, and I'll tell you, it's so amazing to be a part of this. 3 years ago was my first time with Van Helsing, and I could not put it into words when I there's the most passionate genre, the most passionate fans, the most passionate audience and viewers. They know, you can't trick them. They are not stupid. They are smarter than most of the audiences out there. But again, so passionate, and it's rewarding when they blog or they talk about it, and they love what you do. So it's very rewarding.
Sci-Fi Talk returns in a moment.
Here are two of the ladies, Rukina Bernard, who is Doc, and Jennifer Schoen Garcia, who is Ivory. They talk about kicking ass for the ladies.
Pretty awesome. I mean, my character doesn't do much fighting, you know.
She's
yours
an intellectual
does.
Fighter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ivory's a lot more hands-on.
Yeah, big time.
She's not a big talker at all. She's very very stoic, and she's more of living by example than talking about it, I guess.
And lastly, what's it like for you guys here? I mean, the Van Helsing fans are so passionate about the show. I know you had your panel today. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like to walk on stage and feel that love.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. Really, the house was packed. We didn't get around to answering everyone's questions. Vinny actually made it up on stage because he got in. It was, I don't know, between that, the autograph session, like everything, it's been really nice to get to know the fans and just share the love with them.
It's an absolute blast, and the people are incredible, and it's because of shows like yours and the press that you guys give us that people are aware of the show, so thank you.
Here's a great dialogue with Alex Ponovic about Julius in the episode Suicide.
Third season episode, like Suicide, Julius had a very prominent part in that, and I thought you brought it. I mean, that was a tough episode for him, and in a lot of ways. He's working at a bar now, and how is he mentally right now?
I love this character so much, man. I really do, and I love what they've done with Julius from season one to where they're at now, and. Like where's Julius' head is that he can finally like beat every like you know for his duration as human Julius, he just wanted to protect, he just wanted to put himself in the front lines of retribution because of what he's done as a vampire, and you remember everything that you did as a vampire, and it's totally against who he is as a human. You know, season two was all about like, I don't care how I go out, as long as I'm going out ethically and how I'm proud to be.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of take that I've took on him. It's very, very much, a Catholic guilt kind of thing that he just wants to protect and go out doing something well. And so when we get to Denver, there's that moment of, there's a little bit I have some joy in my life. And even though he pushes it away a little bit, he welcomes it at the same time. So he loves the fact that he's in there. He doesn't care what he's working at. And then he meets somebody that really kind of touches him where he's never been like internally felt before, this new emotion that's happening with this attraction to this woman. But he still has this guilt-ridden thing with Vincent's character, so he still rides that, and that oversees anything to him. like if you had to pick the two, it's he needs to take care of Flesh and in any means possible. So again, he takes that weight on. He burden. There's a lot of burden with that weight. So I love the character because it goes between a bunch of emotions and there's still some humor in there with them. So I'm loving this, man. I'm absolutely. I can't wait till you guys see what happens in the next few episodes. But it's great. It's great.
Yeah, there was some sparks between Julius and Frankie there a little bit. I thought there was.
I think you could be right.
It's amazing what actors can do non-verbally to kind of lead you in that direction. It wasn't in the dialogue. It's just the way you two kind of looked at each other.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. There's a line that I liked that shows you where he is, where she says, I'm not used to, grunts doing this kind of work or whatever. And he goes, well, I'm not a grunt. So something along those lines. And I go, oh, I like that. And the guy has respect for who he is. He's not there because he's at the end of his rope. At least mentally, maybe financially, but not mentally. He is where he's in a good place, but he stood up for himself a little bit, and that was very key, I thought.
Absolutely, that's very observant. Like, he's that guy that understands that he has a mission, and so he has this confidence that he can turn stuff around. He believes in himself. That he can be there and turn things around. And I love that about this character. And again, that's a testament to the writers of giving him that confidence. And he's not doing it out of fear. He's not like reacting out of fear through all the adventures that he's had. It's him going, I've got to step up now and I know what I'm capable of. And I just have to do this for my own retribution. So I love how they wrote Julius in that way.
And he's trying to kind of move on, and yet someone from the past shows up. And, he's trying to help the guy out. And another great line, it's like, what do you owe him? And he says, I owe him everything. And, that says so much about the man that Julius is as well. Talk about that aspect of kind of your past coming back to face you in the present where you almost can't shake it.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing about Julius too. I don't think he wants to shake it. I think I think Flesh is literally putting a mirror in his face and saying, if you want to be the man that you think that you are, you need to act and you need this retribution. So it's almost like I need him to be there so I can clear my body. I can clear my conscience, and I need this to happen as opposed to burying it and burying the past. The only way I can live on is if I make it right. And he's showing me that mirror. And I really kind of have a parallel with that, with just people in general, as opposed to running away from things that make them feel small. You challenge the thing that challenges you, and then you become that much more of a man or a woman once you face that and you recognize it as, oh my God, and not as a, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Like in a very subversive way, you recognize it as something I need to get through this to be a better person and live a healthy life. And that's the struggle.
Yeah.
When you get through a struggle, it's a good thing. Like
I firmly believe
all these struggles are good things that leads you to something better. And I feel like I feel like Flesh is that mirror for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the scene on the roof, between the two of you, I mean, you're pleading for him to save himself. And, you went to the trouble to try to find his wife and everything. And here you are, he's at the last gasp. And that, I got the impression that what he did really hurt Julius.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to see what happens in the next few episodes, but once he does that, a part of him dies too. It would be really hard for Julius to get something back when that Flesh has been his prime mission to try to see some joy in his life, to have something forgiving himself and forgiving others. And when that happens, when he jumps off that ledge, I think Julius jumps with him.
And that is the end of part one of my look at Van Helsing on Rewind. Stay tuned for part two. This is Tony Tolotta.